بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, towards the end of the previous surah, Surah Al-Anfal, and continuing into this present surah, Surah Al-Tawbah, the theme has been primarily centered around jihad and the permissibility of jihad, the necessity of jihad. And as we had mentioned in the previous lesson last week, that while there are some tribes and groups that we will uphold our treaties and agreements with, there are other groups who not only will it be permissible, but at times even encouraged to engage in jihad against those groups that are at war with Islam and the Muslims, and they lie in wait to cause harm to Islam and the Muslims. Then jihad will be necessary in order to repel their evil and to create safety and protection for Islam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the wisdom behind the legality of jihad. Why is it something that is permissible in deen, whereas outwardly it is something negative? There is bloodshed, there's loss of lives, etc. At times there's damage to infrastructure. Why is it that Sharia still permits this? It is a legal obligation. And not only this, but Sharia also encourages that jihad be carried out. So Mufassirin have mentioned in these next two verses the wisdoms and the reasons. And first Mufassirin mentioned that when it came to nations of the past who transgressed and who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah destroyed them primarily using natural disasters. Allah speaks about this in the Quran. فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ, that the nations of the past that rejected and disbelieved, then we did eventually seize them and destroy them. And Allah then goes on to mention a number of ways in which He destroyed these nations of the past. Some were destroyed by means of earthquakes, some were destroyed by causing them to drown, some were destroyed by rain of stones that had fallen down upon them. And there were various natural disasters that Allah had created and caused in order to destroy these nations of the past. But when it came to the people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they rejected, they disbelieved, and they transgressed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah destroyed them, but now at the hands of the Muslims. So what is the wisdom? Why did Allah choose to do it this way and not destroy them by means of a natural disaster? So Allah says, قَاتِلُوهُمْ, that wage war against them. يُعَذِّبْهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ, Allah will send His punishment upon them at your hands. What is the reason for this? وَيُخْزِهِمْ, this Allah will humiliate them by means of this. One is that they regarded themselves to be superior and they had oppressed Islam and the Muslims. Now when they see those very same people who they had oppressed now gaining the upper hand over them and they are being defeated at their hands, this will be a means of humiliation, a means of further disgrace for the enemies of Islam. So this is the first wisdom. وَيَنْصُرْكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ, secondly, Allah will send His assistance to you against them. So this becomes a means of solace and comfort for the Muslims, that we were oppressed by these people and now we are witnessing Allah's assistance coming to us firsthand. So this gives us reassurance that we are upon haqq, upon truth, because Allah's help, Allah's assistance is coming to us. Thirdly, وَيَشْفِي صُدُورَ قَوْمٍ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَيُذْهِبْ غَيْظَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that by means of jihad, Allah will cure the hearts of the believers and Allah will remove or take out the rage and fury that is within their hearts. Again, they are now getting a chance to gain the upper hand over those who tormented them, those who persecuted them, those who harmed them. One is a natural disaster wipes out the enemy or the opposition. This does not in any way cool the heart of those who were oppressed, those who were downtrodden. But now when we are able to inflict harm upon them and we are able to play a part in their destruction, so a so-called revenge that is now taking place, then this becomes a means of consolation, a means of solace and itmi'nan, reassurance coming to the hearts of the believers. And then the final wisdom, the final reason that is mentioned in this verse, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and this is in reality something beneficial for the opposition, for the enemy, for the disbelievers. Allah will accept the repentance of whomsoever He wishes. When a natural disaster comes, then generally the entire group is wiped out. And there is no chance for tawbah. But through jihad, at times we will defeat the enemy. They may lose numbers, but there will be a number of them that will survive and that will get a chance to go back home, and they will then be able to introspect. They would have witnessed the help Allah sent to Islam and the Muslims, and this will become a means of them at times making tawbah, and they will then find salvation in the hereafter. So this is in reality beneficial for them, that their destruction comes at the hands of the Muslims and not through some natural disaster that wipes them out completely and leaves no room for them to make tawbah. Wallahu alimun hakim. And then finally Allah says, Allah is most knowledgeable, most wise. And this is a subtle indication that if you have not understood or accepted the wisdoms mentioned above, then at least resign yourself to this fact that Allah's knowledge is complete, Allah's wisdom is complete. In other words, even if we do not understand the wisdom of this, but Allah is most wise, most knowledgeable, and He knows that which is best. So He knows why He instituted jihad and why He has deemed this to be something necessary, even though we may not see the wisdom behind it. And then Allah mentions with regard to the Muslims that أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تُتْرَكُوا وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَا رَسُولِهِ وَلَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيجًا. This is like a final reason or a secondary reason, that do you think that you will be left without any test? Whereas Allah has not yet made apparent, Allah has not yet brought to light those from amongst you who truly make mujahada, who strive, and those who have not adopted or taken close friends other than Allah and His Rasul and the believers. What is meant by this is that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were those with true iman who were striving in the path of Allah, who were making an effort as far as deen was concerned. They did not take the non-Muslims, the disbelievers, as allies, as friends. And then you had the munafiqeen, those who outwardly looked like Muslims, but they had close ties and bonds with the disbelievers. They were not really striving, making an effort as far as deen was concerned. And as long as jihad was not taking place, there was no real means of distinguishing between the two groups, those who had true iman and those who were munafiqeen. So through this institute of jihad, these two groups would now become clear. A distinction would be made. Those who put themselves forward, were ready to sacrifice their time, their wealth, their lives on the battlefield, this would now become clear that these are the people with true iman. And those who would make excuses, would not go forth, and would not be willing to sacrifice, it would now become clear that these are the munafiqeen, these are the people who don't really have iman. So this is like a secondary wisdom, a secondary reason for the legality of jihad. Wallahu khabirun bima ta'malun. Finally Allah says, Allah is all informed of your actions. So these are just a few wisdoms that have been mentioned in Quran, and Mufassirin have gone into further detail and mentioned other wisdoms regarding this. One is that this world is Darul Imtihan, it is a testing ground. And if Allah had to merely wipe out the enemy, the opposition, then this would not represent any test for the Muslims. Rather, they would have to put themselves forward, at times sacrifice their lives, their wealth, their time, so that the aspect of the test could come to the fore, so that they would really be tested in order to earn Jannah. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً, that this commodity of Allah that He has kept for you in the hereafter, meaning Jannah, is something that is expensive, it is precious, it is valuable, it is not something that you can just earn for free. And this is why you have to go through these difficulties, these challenges in your worldly life, so that you can become worthy of this commodity that Allah wants to give to you. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ